we are going to learn about Rus. Now, the first thing is that there's, as sort of like an introduction to what Rus is and how it went over here, Shmuel HaNavi wrote Megillas Rus. He wrote Megillas Rus probably later on in his life, and he obviously was not alive during that time. Rus would have been a little bit earlier, but he would have seen the results. He probably saw Rus while she was alive, and then saw the results, which is obviously David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and stuff like that. He wouldn't have seen Shlomo, but he would have seen David. The overall message of the story is how when a person acts with chesed and tznius, the results are exemplary. You get tremendous results from such a thing. And since Naomi acted with such chesed toward Rus, and Rus acted with such chesed toward Naomi, you saw what ended up happening over here, what they ended up doing. We're going to see Eglon Melech Moab was the either father or grandfather of Rus. So there could be like a little gap here, how old Eglon was when Rus was born, or if Rus was a very old person. Probably it meant that she was a descendant of Eglon, probably fourth or fifth generation from that time. But that would be the idea behind it. But she was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddikus. Now, the reason why we read Rus on Shavuos is either because it shows the authenticity of Torah Shebaal Peh. We see there's quite a bit of, we learn a lot of halachos from Rus. Like Chalipin ends up being learned from here. And we'll see a bunch of others, some halachos of Leket and Shichcha, how they deal with in the field itself. Number two, to show that Torah has only gotten through Yisurin and Anius. What happened to Rus was tremendous. She lost her father-in-law and then her husband and then ended up being extremely poor. And eventually she got to Torah, so to speak. Number three, we learned the Milo of Eretz Yisrael, that you should never leave Eretz Yisrael. And this is what happens if it happens. Number four, that Kabbalah HaTorah, so to speak, is with a mikvah, even though she was Mekabel HaTorah and she had to go to the mikvah in order to get it. So to B'nai Yisrael and Shavuos were Mekabel HaTorah, so to speak, with the blood instead of going into the mikvah itself. Number five, Gerim helped propagate Torah. Number six, David spread the Torah out to other people. Number seven, to show how righteous women also have a chilek in Torah. Number eight, that there's parnasa when a person comes to Torah as well. Those are the reasons why we read it on Shavuos. So that's that. So let's look at Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. When the judges were judging, it was a hunger in the land. A man went out from Beis Lachem Yehuda, that's Beis Lachem, to live in the field of Moab, him and his wife and his two sons. You notice the names are not mentioned. This is Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and his two sons Machlon and Kilion. But they're not mentioned on purpose in the first pasuk to say they were nameless, as if to say, right, that they shouldn't have done this and they sinned. And we don't want to mention their name, but we're going to for a lesson. So, that, yeah.
Yeah, but we've seen in Jewish history when there was a rav in the land, people greater than these guys left.
When there were other people, when there were no other people around, Avraminu, the reason why he left for the rav when he went down to Mitzrayim was because he had to feed all those hundreds of people, and he wasn't sure what to do. So there was no way. He was like, he just had come to Eretz Yisrael, and he came in the middle of the rav, so he had no choice. Yitzchak wanted to leave for the exact same reason. How's he going to feed his family? But we don't see it by other people. Those are the only two people that left by a rav. Yaakov, we never see you leaving by a rav. He left to go to Lavan. And then, I guess you can say the rav because of Yosef, but he wouldn't have left if not for the fact that Yosef invited him and said, come to Mitzrayim, and he saw the Shechinah left with him. Now, the line over here, Shvot HaShoftim, this is when the judges were judged. Everybody would go up to the judges, and they give them a little bit of mussar. Some could say that that was good, but others would say that that was bad, that the judges were just like, the judge would say to them, you have to do this, and they would say, oh yeah, well, what about you? So on the one hand, you look at that and you're like, wow, that's tremendous azus, you know, azus metzach. Their brazenness was crazy. On the other hand, you know, it did show that they were willing to give mussar and that the judges were willing to take the mussar from them. So that is a good thing. So that could be a good and a bad thing over here, the fact that they were giving mussar over here. But it does start off with vayihi. Vayihi is always a bad lashon. Vayihi bimei is a bad lashon. Over here it was bad because Elimelech was obviously from what had happened over here. So some say this famine was from corruption, that they weren't judging the people properly. When you don't judge properly, that's what ends up happening. There was a rub in the land itself. Some say that when there's no king, spiritually things go down a little bit, and that's what happened over here. The rub was there. There was no king because they didn't have that concept back then. The Nevi'im, the Shoftim, had not been there right at that time. Others say there weren't good judges. There were judges, Mishvot HaShoftim. It wasn't like a Shofet. There were Shoftim, random people, got up and judged who never should have judged in the first place when it came to that. Either way, there was a problem based on that. Now, why did Elimelech leave? Why did this guy get up and leave? There's no question it's because of the rub itself, but Elimelech was a big tzaddik, so he had a cheshbon behind it. One of the reasons why he left is because of this, Bimei Shvod HaShoftim. He saw the people arguing with the Shoftim. He saw that there was no respect for the top people. So he decided he's getting up and leaving. He doesn't want to be around such people before. Now, the problem is that Elimelech was extremely wealthy, and he was a very big tzaddik, and everybody knew him. When he got up and left, that destroyed the morale of the people. People used to go to him for tzedakah. They used to go to him to be able to get help. And when he left, they had no idea what to do anymore. There were people that were just like, what are we supposed to do? So we told Elimelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, said to Elimelech, I gave you these riches to be able to help people, especially in times of Rav. And you get up and leave during the times of Rav instead of helping out all the people and what they need? That's the wrong thing to do over here. That's the reason why it wasn't the best thing. He abandoned the poor, right? He was not a good king. Chazal say that Elimelech saw himself as a king. He was wrong. It was Boaz that he was seeing, his brother, who ended up being a shofet, right? But he saw that he was going to be a king. And maybe it was. Maybe Elimelech saw through his daughter-in-law that his daughter-in-law was going to end up having David HaMelech. But he saw he was a direct descendant of Nachshon ben Aminadav. He assumed he was going to become king, but here he did something that was not a good kingly duty. He left when he should have been dispensing charity and kindness. He instead went to somewhere else, and therefore he lost it completely.
He even had the word Melech in his name.
Yeah, 100%. Eli Melech. Eli Melech. That's where the darshan is from. To me is the kingdom. And he expected it to happen over there. That's that. We have two times where it says the word Vayelech in Tanakh. One is by Amram, and one is by Eli Melech. Both of them brought about the Moshiach. Amram on purpose, Elimelech in a backhanded fashion. Because what he did, it brought Ruz, so eventually the Mashiach came, but it didn't happen in any other way over here. But that's that. Okay, he decided to go to Moab because Moab didn't give B'nai Yisrael when they went down to Mitzrayim, when they were on their way out from Mitzrayim. So to Elimelech decided not to do, right? That was a problem over here, and that's that. Now, B'shem Ish Elimelech, the name of the man was Elimelech, B'shem Ish Naomi. The name of his wife is Naomi, or Naomi. Right, I think that's the way you're supposed to pronounce it. Naomi, the Shem Bnei Ban of Machlon, the Chilion, Ephrosim. They were Ephrosim. Ephrosim means from Ephraim, around the area of Ephraim. But the problem is that they're not from Ephraim; they're from Shevet Yehuda. So Ephrosim seems to just mean they were very chashuv of people. Mibeis Lachem Yehuda, as we said before, the Vostei Moav Ayusham. They came to the fields of Moab, and they were there. They stayed there. Now the real names, Machlon and Chilion, are known as Yoash and Saraf. Some say Yoash because he gave up hope, and Saraf because they ended up being burned. They were destroyed. Others say that the real names were Yoash and Saraf, and that Machlon and Kilion, right, were their fake names. Machlon because he got Mechila in the end, because he's the one that married Rus. Kilion ended up being destroyed. He was gone. He married Orpah. Nothing came out from him, and there was all the whatever it is. Now, it says that there were Shnei Vanov. Some say that they were equal in greatness. Others say that they were totally disalike when it came to their mindsets, that Machlon always thinking good things and Kilion was not over here. Either way, that's the concept of where it was over here. They were definitely great people. There's no question whatsoever. Vayomas Elimelech ish Naomi. So Elimelech then died, the husband of Naomi, but Sherhi Ushne Vanel. She remained with her two sons. Now he died again for leaving Eretz Yisrael and not giving tzedakah. Those are the two reasons why over here. Some say that there's an interesting wording, ish Naomi, as if like, she was the that was the husband of Naomi that died. Like, he was only famous because of his wife, not because of himself. Because Naomi was such an unbelievable person, right? That's maybe the possibility when it was. But we do learn from over here that it's sort of like when Shimi ben Gera died, Shlomo Melech married the daughter of Paro. So too, when their father died, that's when they married Moavi woman. They did not marry Moavi woman in the lifetime of their fathers because they understood, right? But that's what happened. Now, technically, Naomi should have died over here as well. She should have shared the fate. But because of her noble deeds, she was able to be spared for 10 years together with her sons, and her life was saved, right? And that was going to be over there. Some say that Naomi was pregnant when they came to Moab, right? And unfortunately, she lost her baby at this time, that she was bereft not only of her husband, but also of her child that happened over here. We'll see what happened with Machlon and Kilion. But Yisrael Nashim Moavios. They married women that were Moavios. Shema Achas Orpah. The name of the first one was Orpah. V'shem Hashinis Rus. The second one was Rus. V'yishushom Ke'asar Shanim. They lived there for 10 years. Now, Pashup Shad, you'd assume Machlon is older than Kilion. So Machlon married Orpah and Kilion married Rus. But Chazal tells us it's not that way. The Machlon married Rus and Kilion married Orpah, which tells you that something was already wrong. The second to oldest got married first. Why did the second to oldest get married first? That wasn't the normal way, and it's clear that the Torah is trying to point that out for us. The pshat is that Machlon and Kilion didn't want to marry non-Jewish women. But Kilian decided that he was going to go ahead and do it. So he married Orpah. It was a bad move. Mahlon, when he saw that he married Orpah, he found a better wife in Rus, somebody that was a better person, ended up marrying them. But they lived for 10 years and around that way, right, without any problems over here, right? But they did end up getting married. Apparently, there were no children. Maybe there are children that we don't know about, but apparently there were no children during that whole time. That they had been married for 10 years altogether, and it didn't happen during that time. They had never gotten, they never had kids.
Maybe as a punishment, so to speak.
Yeah, around there. Chazal also say that during times of Rav, well, for Pur Ravu, you're supposed to be together with your wife, but during the times of Rav, you should make sure not to be together with your wife.
Yeah, but they weren't part of the Rav anymore.
Yeah, it's true. They probably weren't part of the Rav, and... Right, it seems likely if you didn't have Puruvu, I don't know how they could have matched that when it came to stuff like that. Either way, there was tremendous gaiva. There was gaiva when it came to stuff like this that was over there. Mahlon and Kilian, Chazal say, had reasoned correctly in their halacha. Moavi velo Moavia, Amoni velo Amonis. So those people are mutter to us. We can marry a Moavia. They were right, but they were wrong. You can marry them, but you can't marry them in their land and live together with them in their land. They should have converted them. And even though they did, I'm sure, convert them in some way, making sure that they were Jewish, they didn't convert them in the proper way with a proper Beis Din. And because they didn't convert them in a proper Beis Din, that doesn't count. That counts as a Geirus B'dieved, but not a real Geirus. And therefore, it didn't count as much. And that's the concept over here, why they were wrong and what they had done over here. What else do we have over here? There is a kasha, right? There is a kasha, whether they were converted or not. But let's go with this idea that they were converted, but not really converted. So it was like sort of whatever it is. Did Naomi, was she okay with it? It seems like she protested, but we don't know. It seems not like that. Now, why are their names Orpah and Rus? Orpah is named because she turned her back on her mother-in-law. She left her and she decided she was going to stay. Rus, right, either saw that she was going to be a Jew, and therefore Ra'asa is from the word, or you could say Rus is a gematria of 606. She added on 606 mitzvos. Or Yoras in Aramaic is to inherit, that she inherited a kingdom. Or she was like a tur, pure as a dove in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that she gave birth to David, who was Ravya, who was intoxicated God with his tremendous songs. Right, so that's another line over here. Regardless, Zohar Kadosh definitely says that they converted. They both died. Now the woman remained without her two children and from her husband itself. Right, that's the idea behind it. So now it's gam shneihem, not only the child that she was pregnant with, but also these children as well. They got all these deaths. Now here, vayamusu, the extra vav over here. If you read vayamusu, it should be see vayamus or not that. How is it spelled in the Tanakh itself? Do you see it? Is with a vav yud mem?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't say it over there. I don't know why. The Miyamoe says there's a vav in the middle of the word. I guess we don't have that in our Tanakh, but he says there's a vav in the middle. He says from the Medrash that six other deaths happened before Mahlon and Kilian died. Their horses died, their donkeys died, their camels died, their camel drivers died, their sheep died, and their cattle died. When they saw this and they didn't take heed, that's when they died themselves, which is interesting, but we don't have that vav inside it when it comes to this. I don't know. It says, Mishnei Yeladeh, from her two children. What do you mean her two children? They were married. You know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't with mommy anymore, right? So what does that mean? She was bereft of her two children. Shouldn't it be that the husbands died or the men died themselves? The answer is, their final illness made them like little children. She had to take care of them again. That's how bad it was. She got up with her daughter-in-laws. They got up, you know, from their avelos, but she didn't finish the avelos. She wanted to get up before anybody else could come and help her. She returned from the fields of Moab. Because she had heard in the fields of Moab, ki fakad Hashem es amo, that as soon as Mahlon and Kilian died, Hashem had remembered his people, and now there was bread. Perhaps their death was like a kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. They were great men, even though they did the wrong thing and that they sinned tremendously, right, in what they had done. Nonetheless, they were great men, and it could be that as soon as they died, that was the final kapara that they needed in order for it to start raining again. Possibly that's what it would be over here. Now, could be, she didn't even tell Rus and Orpah that she left. She decided to go. She got up on her own. The chalav seha. And her daughter-in-law is like, follow behind. We're like, wait, we're going to come with you. We'll come with you. It could be that that's what happened over here. It seems that she left empty-handed. She got up by herself. She had nothing to bring with. She had lost all of her money and everything was completely gone. Some say that a malach came and told Naomi that the hunger was gone. Others say that she was able to look up in the sky and see the clouds. So even in Moab is not that far away from Eretz Yisrael, she was able to see that it was raining in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's Avatete, Minamakom Shoyza Shoma, this is in Pasuk Zion. She went out from the place where she was there, Ushnechal Seimo, with her two daughter-in-laws, Atelachim Baterach Leshuvah L'Eretz Yehuda. She then went on the road to go to the land of Yehuda itself, right? She wanted to go. She realized what was going to be left. She did not want to marry a Moavi man. She knew that that was Aser to her. She didn't want her two daughter-in-laws to be married to Moavi men if she brought them with her on purpose. But the point is that she no longer wanted to go to a land of suffering. She only had bad thoughts about what Moav was, so they decided to go by themselves. But that's dangerous. You're going out during the times of a Rav. Now, granted, the Rav was over, but during the times of a possible Rav, three women traveling together. So maybe they went on the main road in order to make sure they would get with some type of caravan or whatever it is, but they decided they were going to go straight. And it wasn't that long of a walk. I would say maybe a few days to be able to go through. But regardless, Vatomer Naomi Lishnei Chalosah, she said to her two daughter-in-laws, Lechna Shayivna, Isha Lebeis Ima, each one of you should go back to your mother's house. Ya'as Hashem imachem chaser. Hashem should do with you a chaser kasher yisum amesim v'imadi, like you did with the people that had died, and for me itself. She realized that they really wanted to travel the whole way. She figured they were trying to walk her out, like it would be nice for the mother-in-law. But it seemed clear that they wanted to go back. It could be she was embarrassed, mamish embarrassed, that her sons had married Moavi women. It could be that she looked at it in that way. It could be that they thought that they would come back to Eretz Yisrael and they would collect their ksuvas. Kamachlan and Killian didn't leave them anything left because they had lost all their money beforehand. Right, so that Naomi said, I've got nothing. Anything that happens is going to go to, is going to go to my husband's brothers. And I get my ksuva and that's it. You guys get nothing. Machlon and Killian had no money at the end of their life. There's nothing left. So just go to your mother's house. I have no way of supporting you. I have no way of getting around. And that's that. So that's the idea behind it. It is interesting over here that, number one, it seems, go to your mother's house. It sounds like Goyim trace their descent through their mothers and not their fathers, which is not necessarily true l'halacha. That's a big question, but it seems that they would go by their fathers, not their mothers, meaning a Moavi would go after their father, not if their father was a Moavi and their mother was an Egyptian. They would be Moavim, not Egyptians. That's what you would think. Over here, yeah, Ruth, she says that, yeah?
They also say that there's that maternal bond between a mother and a daughter.
I hear what you're saying. So maybe there's something there.
So that's why she said,
always a connection.
You're go back to your mother.
Yeah, but there has to be a reason why the Torah would say that. That can't be just for that bond. That would be the reason why the Tanakh mentions such a thing. I think it's for an actual halacha that goes through. But maybe, it could be that. Maybe she knew that Eglon was dead and Eglon was the father and there was no father anymore. The Eglon, if Eglon was gone, maybe that's the idea behind it. So either way, but that's the idea behind it. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling him that. Now, it's interesting. Imadi, right, is the acronym of Oved, Mashiach, David, and Yishai. That's all going to come from Rus, that if you come with me, that's what's going to be over here. And also, the Chazal say very quickly in Yevamos, right, that she was testing their stamina. Are you guys willing to come with me? What's going to be with you guys? Are you willing to come with or no? If you're not willing to come with, I'm okay with that, but here's what I want you to do. That's an idea behind it. Okay, that's that. Yiten Hashem lechem umitzena minucha isha beis isha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give to you, and you will find rest. Each woman in the house of her new husband, Vatishaklen, she kissed them, Vatisena kolon, they lifted up their voices, Vatishaklen, and they all cried. She said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see what you did. Everything's all good, but your gerus is not a real gerus. I don't think it's a real gerus because there was no whatever it is. Maybe it'll be, if you do a gerus l'chumra later on, maybe it could be a real gerus. But right now, I don't think your gerus is a real gerus. So go ahead. You have money from your father's house, right? You have stuff that you can deal with. I say go find another husband and everything should be all good. That's the best thing for you, right? And also, remember, they've been married 10 years without children. It's time for you guys to be able to have children. Go somebody else and make sure that everything's going to be taken care of when it comes to that. Okay, the idea behind that is right there. Also, interesting. Kissing, a kiss from a tzaddik awakens a person up. It could be that this allowed Rus to be able to realize what she had to do. Maybe Orpah realized it well, but didn't have as strong of a connection to her. She said to her, or they said to her, right? No, we're going back with you. We see how you guys were. We see how Jews are. We want to go back with you. We want to go back to your people over here. That's the idea. Next, you have to return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Do I have any of the children in my stomach? It sounds like I used to. but I don't anymore. V'hayulacham lanashim, that could be your husband, right? And there's nothing you can do. There's no yibum. There's no levirate marriage over here. There's nothing that you're going to gain from coming with me. And nobody's going to marry you because not everybody holds it. You can marry a Moavi woman. My sons were, you know, they paskin for themselves. I don't think this is going to be a good situation. There's nothing you can do over here. Shovna v'nosai, go back, my daughter's lechna. Kizakanti, I'm old, mioslish, and I'm not going to get married again. Kiamarti yeshli tikva, gami yisya lailu le'ish v'gami latu vanim. If I were even say there were hope, and even if I could have a husband tonight, and even if I could have sons, nonetheless, it's not going to happen. And that's the idea behind it. It is a weird line, a definite weird line that she was saying, like, oh, if only I could have a husband tonight, then I would give you sons in order for you guys to get married. It's just weird for her to say it. Even if I would get married, right now, and I would have children, the children are not going to be able to do Yibum for 13 years. You're going to have to wait another 13 years to be able to do Yibum. And even then, by the way, I don't think it would be Mutter in this case, because that would be Eishes Ach Shlo Hayo Ba'olama, a brother that wasn't in the world. You have to be in the world at the time for it to work through Yibum. That's not going to work over here. So I don't think it's going to be possible. There's no reason for you to be able to go through. It's interesting.
It was probably just another illustration to make her point.
Then I'm not here. I think so. You got to be right, because there's no way halachically that wouldn't be able to go. Okay, that's that. Halahin tishaberna. Are you going to wait for them? Adisha yigdalu, until they get old. Halahin teagena. Are you going to be an aguna? Bevelti osla ishal benosai. Right? So that you're not going to have, right, that you can't marry another man. Alvinosai, no, my daughters. Kimar lima'od, it's really bitter mikem. It's more bitter for me than it is for you. Ki yatzili biyad Hashem. Clearly, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is against me over here. Right? It's going to happen. It's better for you to be able to marry somebody else, and that's that. Fine. That's that. She said, Vatisena kolon. They lifted up their voice, Vatigen, and then she cried, Ode. Vatishak Orpa lachamos of Rustav kaba. Orpa then kissed her mother-in-law to say goodbye, and Rus stuck to her. Now, Orpah is an interesting one. Orpah left. Orpah ended up becoming Horpah. She ended up having a child named Gullius. There's a question who the father of that child was.
Right.
According to the Medrash, she could have been Shimshon. The Gemara says she was with 100 men and a dog. But according to one Medrash that's brought down by the Chasam Sofer, her husband was Shimshon. When Shimshon was grinding in the grinding mill, when he was in jail, many of the men brought their wives to him to become impregnated by him, to have very strong children. One of them was Orpah. And that child ended up becoming Gullius. She did have three other children, Yishbi Benov, Madon, and I forgot what the fourth one was, right? But those four children were there. Oh, Madon, it says right over here, Yishbi Benov, Gullius, Madon, and Saf, right? They were over there. It could be they came from somewhere else, but Orpah is Harafa, right, that's mentioned later on in Shmuel Beis, right? It's the same person. It's really crazy, but she had four major, major giants. And of course, Goliath led to David HaMelech's, you know, being chosen as king. Vatomer hine shava yivim teich lama. Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people Elohim, to her gods. Shivecho yivim teich. So she already saw that Orpah was like, I'm back to my gods, finally. So you should go back after your sister-in-law. There's no reason to go through, and this is a final test to be able to go through. There is a lot over here. The Gemara says that she asked her a lot of questions. Well, it's right over here. Vatomer Rus. Rus said to her, Altif kibi, stop praying to me or telling me, L'azveich, to leave you. L'shub me'achraich, and go away from behind you. Kelsher telchi eleich. Wherever you go, I go, right? Vashar talini alin. Wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Amechami, your people is my people. Elohayech Elohoi. Your God is my God. Okay, so there's a bunch of different things over here that she ended up learning over here. He said, okay, if you say, where's the wording behind it? Right. All of these are references regarding Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachaver, right? So here it is. It says, you can't walk on Shabbos outside of 2,000 Amos. It's difficult to keep Shabbos. She said, wherever you go, I'll go. But you can't have Yichud. You can't have seclusion with different men. Rus said, wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Et cetera, but you have 613 mitzvot. She said, your people are my people. We're forbidden to worship idols. Your God is my God. That's what he said. But you can't stay in a place where it doesn't have a mezuzah. He said, wherever you lodge, you know, you can't go to these circuses or theaters or whatever it is that the pagans believed in back then for Avodah Zarah. He said, wherever you go, I'll go. So all those lines are going to be over here, right? That's what she learned from, and she ended up staying with it. Kashitamusi amus, wherever you die, I'll die. I'll be buried in a Jewish cemetery. The Shom Ekaver, that's where I'll be buried. Ko yaseh Hashem li, b'cho yosif ki amavaz yafri b'ni v'necha. The only thing that will separate between me and you is death. I'm not going to stop for anything else when it comes to stuff like that. Now, she mamish took on everything. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to take kankaris and the skila and whatever it is and everything else. And we learn the halachos from here. This is where we learn what you're supposed to say to a ger when they're megayer. You're not supposed to be easy. It's so funny. My cousin just asked me today. She said, can I invite a non-Jew to the Seder? So halachically speaking, it's a real problem. You can't really invite non-Jews to the Seder because you might make more food for them. I said, if she comes, she comes. That's my wording over there. And I said, I have no problem. But I said, be careful and warn her. I do not proselytize. I do not want her becoming Jewish. I said, does she understand that? My cousin laughed. She's like, oh yeah, not a problem. I was just like, I want you to be clear on this. I am being very clear. I am not proselytizing at all. Okay, that was that. That's the concept over here. But that's what she wanted to say. Vatera, and she saw, Kimisa Metzisil Lachisita. She was trying so hard to go with her. Vatechta Lidabrela. So that's when Naomi stopped. At a certain point, you stop. Once you see that she's serious, right, that a ger is serious, a gyoris is serious, then you stop. There is no question that at that point you make it a little bit easier for them. Then you help them along the way. Vatilach neshteim ad bo'ana beis lachem. They both went until they came to beis lachem. Vayik bo'ana beis lachem. When they came to beis lachem, vateihom kol ha'ir alayhen. Everybody was shocked. Vatomara, zos Naomi. Is this Naomi? She doesn't look like Naomi at all. Who in the world had been this way? Right? It's crazy. Now, Orpah, on the way back home, remember we said that one mattress that she was together with 100 men? Some say that she was raped on the way back. And that is what happened to her on the way back. While these two, they had been protected. Shtehem. You see that line? It shouldn't be shtehem. It should be shtehen. Because that's feminine instead of masculine. But for them, they had a little bit of extra protection until they reached Beis Lechem. And that was tremendous over here. That was the gift that had happened. So everybody came out to see Naomi, right? Because she had used to have all these attendants and all of her finery and everything like that. Now everybody said, like, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable what Naomi looked like, what she was, and everything like that. Rus was an extremely beautiful person, extremely beautiful woman. They saw Rus and they didn't want to embarrass her because they were like, who is that? Like, Rus looks the way Naomi used to do, and they didn't know what to say about themselves. They were just absolutely so shocked. The other reason why they had come out that day and why everybody was right there is because on that day, Boaz's wife died. Boaz had lost his wife, and according to the Medrash, 60 of his children as well. Perhaps through the hunger, maybe the burial was whatever it is, but he had 60 children and one of his wives. I can't believe that all 60 were born from one wife, right? But they had all come right over there, and that's the concept of what had happened right over there. So now, that's that. Vatomer lehen, al tikrena li Naomi. No longer call me Naomi. Kirena li mara. Call me bitter. Kehemar Shaddai li me'od, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made it very, very bitter for me. It has not been easy whatsoever. It's interesting over here that she ended up calling herself that name, right? But either way, she felt that it was like, I have absolutely nothing. Now, Mara also could be referring to like a hoe or a shovel, that she used the shovel to be able to bury her brother, her sons, and her husband. And that's what had happened over here. Either way, I don't see that her name ever becomes Mara anywhere else. So it seems like she asked for it, but nobody ended up taking it. I went out full, in other words, with a husband, two sons, and actually a pregnant body. And yet I came back without anything. Hashem, lama tikrenali, Shivani Hashem, Hashem returned me. Lama tikrenali Naomi, why should you bother calling me Naomi? Hashem, anavi, Hashem has afflicted me, v'shadai, heirali, has done all these terrible things, right, for all these things that had happened over here. Hashem has humbled me, right, that's the concept over here. And that the punishment was tremendous for me to sit in. V'tashu Naomi v'ruosam via kalasa ima has shavim stay moav, that had returned from stay moav. The hema bo beis lachem betchilas ksir saorim, they had come right to beis lachem at the beginning of the barley harvest, right around that time when the barley harvest had started. That's when they came over here. Now barley harvest means we're dealing with Pesach time, right? The barley was harvested around Pesach time. Shavuos is the time when the wheat was harvested. That was a little bit later. So they harvested everything and they put everything together, but this Ksir Seorim should be at around Pesach time. It could be right after Pesach. It was during the days of Sfira leading up to Shavuos itself. It's very possible that that's the idea of what was happening over here and what they were referring to, what they were leading up to over here. Okay, regardless, that's what had happened over here. Naomi moda liisha. Now, Naomi had a known man to her husband, Ish Gibor Chayo, a man who was extremely strong of valor, Mishpach Zalimelech, from the family of Elimelech, Ushmo Boaz, right? His name was Boaz itself. We're now going through how Rus ended up marrying Boaz. Now, Boaz technically really should have married Naomi, but Naomi had sworn off not being married ever again. But technically, there would have been Yibum here, because if it's her brother, she didn't have, I'm sorry. It wouldn't have been Yibum because Boaz died. Elimelech died before his children died. So you couldn't marry her, right? That wouldn't have happened. Okay, so forget about that. That wouldn't have happened over here. But she had a husband. She had a brother of her husband, and this man was Boaz. Now, Boaz is known in the Navi as Ivtson. Ivtsan means it was his actual name. The real name, the reason why he was called Boaz, is because he was something that either was abandoned by Elimelech, or Booz. He had the strength of Torah knowledge to be able to do things and stuff like that. So that's the idea of what he wanted to do over here. Boaz was the main shofet in Klal Yisrael at the time, possibly because Elimelech left. It could be that Elimelech was the number one shofet, and that when he left, Boaz became even stronger over here. Okay, either way, the reason why he didn't go out originally is, again, because he might have been mourning his wife. There was avelus for his wife during that time. I'm going to go out to the field. I'm going to collect from those sheaves. After I found favor in his eyes. So Rosamovia says, I think it's a good idea, right, that I go out to the fields and go find stuff, because that's what people did. Pay a leket, shikha, whatever it is, right? She said it's a good idea to be able to go ahead and do so. She undertook that she was going to support her mother-in-law. She didn't know the place. I don't know if she knew Hebrew that well. I'm sure she knew something like a passable Hebrew of whatever language they went ahead and did, but she understood the laws of leket, and she understood what she was supposed to do, right, and she wanted to go around. Now, it could be that she specifically wanted to go to the field of her father-in-law, Elimelech. Elimelech still owned fields, just the fields were taken over by the people who had grabbed it during the times of the hunger when he had left them and around. So I don't know what exactly she was trying to do, if she was trying to get the leket from Boaz's field, or if she was going somewhere else. Could be that Boaz was taking care of the field of Elimelech the entire time, right, waiting for someone to come back, like Machlon and Kilion, right, doing it for free almost in order to take care of everything like that. Either way, regardless, Naomi accepted because she understood that Rus was going to do it with Tznias. She wasn't going to go out there and do it in the wrong way. She understood that it was like that. And maybe that's why she said, Biti, my daughter. She realized that she was going to act in the right way. So that's that. Now, Vatelech Vatova Vatalaki Basada, she went, she came, she gleaned in the fields. Acharya Kotim, after the reapers. Vayikir Mikre, right, and he happened upon her way, Chelkas Asar Levoaz, the part of the field that belonged to Boaz Hashem Mishpachas Elimelech, from the family of Elimelech itself. She came straight to the adjacent field, and it makes sense. They were brothers. They probably shared a field right next to one another, right? But she went and came, and she realized where she was supposed to go, and she went around with stuff like that. There was an extra. She kept going back and forth and back and forth because there was so much stuff to be able to take. She wanted to make sure that she was going in the right direction and doing the right thing over here. Now, Boaz watched her and saw what was going on and saw that there was a couple things that were very interesting about him that he hadn't noticed before. Number one, she was collecting in the right way. Most people don't know this, but leket is only two sheaves of wheat. If there's three sheaves of wheat, you have to leave them for the person who is there. He saw that she was only taking two sheaves of wheat and not three. How she learned that halacha, I'm assuming from Naomi, right? But right. She realized that she only took two and not three. Number two, says Chazal, something really interesting. Every time she bent down, she did not bend down like this to pick it up. She sat down, almost squatted down in order to pick it up, so that she wouldn't be showing off her body in that way. And that was the tznius that Boaz saw over here. And Boaz bami beis lechem. He came from beis lechem. And he said to the reapers, Hashem yimalchem. May God be with you. Yomilo yivarech Hashem. May God bless you. Now, this day, he wasn't expected to be there. This is the day after his avelus. It could be that it was during the avelus itself. But he had to go out there, I guess, because of the hunger itself. And things had just happened. Maybe he wanted to be there over here. Okay. Regardless, this idea of Boaz all of a sudden seeing over here, he realized that there's a reason why he had come out here and seen this woman that was right over there, especially because the woman was acting with a tremendous amount of tznius, meaning she was trying not to be seen. The fact that Boaz was seeing her showed him something was up over here. Why was he keeps running into this woman over and over and over again and could not understand why that was happening over there? Okay. What's Hashem Yimachem? So Chazal learned from over here one of the two places where we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is used in greeting, that you're allowed to greet with Hashem's name, like Shalom Aleichem. Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other one is by Gidon. But this is the main one because the other one was done by Gidon's Malach to Gidon. So then, Ein Hachanami, a Malach can say Hashem first. How do you know that a person can say Hashem to a person and say that as a greeting, like Shalom Aleichem? And the answer is, Boaz did it. If Boaz did it, we see that other people are allowed to do it as well. Some say that the reason why he was doing this is because, you ever been to Israel in the summer? You know how hot it is? Yeah, it's pretty hot. He was trying to tell them, be protected from sunstroke, to be protected. May God be with you to be able to help you, you know, take care of it, whatever it is. And he said, Yivarech Hashem, yeah, may God bless you for giving us such good stuff. Maybe giving them water, especially if they're his workers and whatever it is, making sure. Come on, these people are worth money. You don't want any of them to be lost. That's 100%. Right, that is that. There's a couple other things about who he was visiting at the time, right? There was some people that he was either in the base medrash or whatever, stuff like that. Okay, regardless, that's Yivarech Hashem. And that's Reilon Shalom Aleichem. Yomer Boaz L'Naaro, Boaz said to his servant, Hanitza Ola Kotzim, was standing by the Kotzim, Lamia Na'arazos, whom did this young woman belong to? He noticed that she wasn't married, right? And the reason why she wasn't married is, I guess, she wasn't wearing the proper clothing of somebody who is married. Or, normally, women don't go through the fields. It's the men that go through the fields. This is a young woman who's going through the fields, who's clearly a very good-looking woman. What is she doing going through the fields and acting with such sneers? Something's up. Who did this belong to? Meaning, does this woman have a husband who's sick? Is there somebody who's there? What is going on over here itself? And again, everything else? She's not flirting with anybody. She's staying away from people. Something's up with this woman. She has a regal bearing. And that makes sense. She was the king of Moab's daughter. Vayana nara nitzav lakotz vayomer nara Moaviyahi. She is a Moaviyah woman. Hashavim Naomi miste Moav. She had returned with Naomi from the fields of Moab. Now the question is how he knew that. How would he have found that out? So maybe before you go into the field, you have to introduce yourself and say who you are, and then they would let you into the field, which would make sense. I would think that would make a lot of sense. Can't go in until you tell me why you're here or what you're doing here.
You have to prove that you need.
Exactly, that you're taking it for the right reason. I think that makes the most sense over here. Another way to be able to go through is that the reason why he knew is because, simply put, he started asking questions. Other people might have asked the questions. And unfortunately, because everybody else is so different, her tznius stuck out, which is the exact opposite of what tznius is supposed to be, but it clearly stuck out more than everybody else. That's the idea behind it, right? And that's a problem. Now, he clearly said, and he started off and he said, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but she's a Moavi woman. And we all know that you're not allowed to take a Moavi woman. And that's the reason why, right, the Nara said that's why everybody's staying away from her, right? Not only is she staying away from people, but everyone's staying away from her because they know she's not allowed. But Tomer Alakta, no. She said, let me take some leket, v'asafti b'malrin, and I'll gather the sheaves, achrei akotim, after the reapers, v'atova v'tamla mi'az aboker. So she came, and she's been standing here from the morning, v'atov, zesh shivta habayis ma'at. And she sat in the house for a little bit, right, to be able to rest and whatever it is, right? But otherwise, she made sure to go out at the right time, in the right place, when other people weren't there. She didn't allow herself to rest. She wanted to take as much as she possibly could. Okay, so that's that. Vata Amod Vav is the 6 hours that she spent out in the field. Vata Amod. There's an actual Vav over there in the word Amod. Okay, either way. Vayomer Boaz El Rus. Boaz said to Rus. Halo Shamat Biti. I heard about you, my daughter. Al Tilchi Loko Basada Acher. Don't go collect in other people's fields. Gam Lo Savuri Miza. Don't go away from here. V'chosid Bakun Im Bakin Im Narosai. You can glean together with the different girls and whatever it is, whatever itself. Either way, regardless, Boaz wanted to make sure that she would stay here. And the reason why is, number one, to protect her, because such a woman, especially in Moavia, what's going to be with her? And was worried about other people being together with her if it was us or the Klal Yisrael. Number two, you also have to worry about a couple other things. Number two, is this a woman that I'm supposed to marry? Because even back then was a little bit more expansive.
Well, and this is his niece.
Exactly. It is his brother's son's daughter, which is a possibility, and didn't have any children, and she's around, and my wife just died. So Boaz is looking at it as an opportunity. Maybe there's something that I can get from over here. You can reap among the people that I have that are normally in my field. I want you to be around my field, he said. I want you to see what you can do. So that's the idea behind it. Haven't you heard, he said, hello? Don't you realize what you're able to do over here? I'll give you this ability. Pasuk Tes, Einayich Basada Sheyitzorun. Keep your eyes on the field that they'll harvest. V'alach achrein, and go after them. I told all the young men they should not touch you, right? Go anywhere near you, and they shouldn't bother you.
Yeah, but nobody was.
Could be, but as time goes on, and they see such a beautiful woman in the field over and over and over again, I'm sure that would be hard for a lot of the young men. V'tzamis, if you're thirsty, v'alach tal kelim, you can go to the kelim that they use for their water. V'shasis and drink, me'asher yishavun in a'arim, where they draw from, and you can do anything. Meaning, this land is yours. You can do whatever you want with it. There's no problem with it whatsoever in order to keep yourself away from other people. Maybe that's going to be the safest place to be able to go. That's the idea. V'tipo al panel, she fell on her face. V'tishtachu arat, so she bowed down to the ground. V'tomei love, maduam atasichim v'enecha, why did I find favor in your eyes? Laki reini, so that you recognize me, v'anochi nachria, when I am a foreigner. That didn't necessarily mean a gayish, a woman, although but we do use the word nachri to refer to a guy, just meant she was a foreigner from out of town, right? And that's that. Why should you be so kind to me, considering who I'm supposed to be over here? That's that. Vayam Boaz, and Boaz said to her, Vayam Boaz, Boaz answered, Vayam Allah, who gadli, it was already told to me, Kosher, he says, Chamoseich, everything you did for your mother-in-law, Acharei Mosi Sheikh, after your husband died, Vataz V'yavich V'yimech, you left your father and your mother, V'eret Moladatech, and the land of your birth, V'tilchi Al-Ama Sheleyadatu T'moshel Shom, and you went to a people that you do not know, and nothing over there. Obviously, your conversion was motivated by pure Avas Hashem, and I'm impressed by that.
Response in Yud, rhetorical almost.
Like, in other words, just like a thankful whatever it is,
yeah.
Not to be taken seriously. Maybe Boaz did take it seriously. That's a good call. And Boaz took it seriously and said to her, no, I'm going to take this, like, and whatever it is.
It almost like the whole narrative.
Shkayach, I don't deserve this. Yeah, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And the fact that, like,
no, maybe it was.
They know that they know who each other are.
No, I think there is, because
like Naomi must have told her.
The fact that it's a Moabite woman, though. I think that does set everything around. I think that is something. The Moabite woman is a little bit shocking. That does take it, because according to everybody else, it could be that they're also, right? That's something that's over there, especially because the Moabite men, remember, they were the ones who didn't bring food and water to Klal Yisrael. So maybe they should be mean back to the Moabite, right back at them. So I do hear it. I can hear it as something like that. Anyway, regardless, Yishalom Hashem Pa'aleich, may God repay your deed, usi maskurtech, shlema mi mashem alakei Yisrael, may your reward be complete from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher bos lachsos tachzonafav, that you have come to protect yourself under his wings, right? Everything should be good when it comes to this. I bless you that you should be married, and I bless you with wealth, that you should have everything that you could possibly get over here. Those are the two things that you should be able to have. Now, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vatomer emtzachei me'enecha Adoni, may I find favor in your eyes, my master, kini chamtoni, because you have consoled me, v'chivata olev shivchasecha, and you have spoken to the heart of your shivcha, v'anuchu l'yeh, kach shivchosecha. Though I am not like one of your maidservants, even though I'm not Jewish, and even though I'm not, you know, the people, the person that you think I am, right, nonetheless, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you did over here. So that's that. Vayomer la Boaz, le'esa ocho, goshi halom. Boaz then said to her at the time when they were eating, approach over here. You should eat from this bread, and you should dip your bread into the vinegar. And sit on the side of the reapers. And then he handed her parched grain. And she ate, she was satisfied, and she even had left over the amount that she was able to have. And that's also the way of a tzaddik. A way of a tzaddik is not to fill themselves until they gorge themselves silly, right? To be able to eat and to be able to have left over and to understand it's not a waste of food. When you have extra food in your plate, you eat what you're supposed to eat, and that's that. That's the concept behind it. So it seems that Boaz allowed her to be able to make sure that she knew she was part of the family, so to speak. And plus, I guess, Boaz understood that Ruth was also the daughter of Eglon, right? So as time went on, I guess he understood, like, you're not used to doing this. You're not used to having to go out into the fields and do all this stuff. Let me make sure that you eat a normal amount and everything like that. Now, Chazal tell us that Kali, and the roached parched grains is interesting. He gave her 6 parched grains, according to the Gemara. And that obviously is a remez, because, 6 seeds? That's amazing. But it shows a remez that there were going to be many people that came from her that would be tremendous tzaddikim and great people in Klal Yisrael. Right? Obviously, all of Malchus Beis David was going to come from over here.
That's the theme also, this vav that keeps appearing.
That extra vav all over the place. And you see this concept of what's going to be from her. Talkam Lakit, she got up to glean again. She can even glean among the sheaves. I don't mind it. Do not embarrass her, right? And the reason why I don't embarrass her is because she might not know the halachos. I'm sure he was afraid that she wouldn't know the actual halachos, that you're not allowed to take leket from the omrim itself. But she said, I don't want that to be able to happen.
Is this happening over days?
We don't know. It definitely could be a day itself, but it seems that it was a little bit more than a day. Seems like it was a little bit more, and that things were happening a little bit different. Let's say it happened over a week. Let's just say it that way. Vigam shol tasholula. You should also pull out stalks, minatzvasim, from the heaps themselves, vazavtem, and then leave. Right? When they do the velikta, let her take below sigarubah. Do not rebuke her. Again, even if she takes out from the sheaves himself, I don't mind it. Even if she's taking out little things from there, that's going to be okay. I don't mind it when it comes to that. Shol is like shalna alecha, taking off your shoes, right? I don't mind when she takes from that. Just Boaz wanted to make sure that she was going to be able to have like a ton of things when it comes to stuff like that, right? Also, I don't want people looking at her. because she's going to be walking around and taking from place to place. Let her be. Don't look at her. She's a beautiful woman. And I'm afraid that you guys are going to be stuck to her. You guys are going to have some thoughts that are improper thoughts. She gleaned in the field up until the evening. Definitely seems it was one day, right? And she went ahead and beat out that which she had taken. And she came out with about an epha of seorim themselves. An epha is about a 10-day food supply, which is a great amount, right? She was able to get all that, right? And she took everything else that's right over there.
Well, so that's the thing. What's the halacha in terms of, like,
you can take as much as you want as long as you have under 200 zuz. Then you can take, like, 1,000 zuz worth of stuff if you wanted to.
Like, so it's not like you don't have a day to do it. You have as much time.
Amount of time. Just usually if you didn't do it in a day, all the stuff was taken. Right, you can understand that. But maybe they did different parts of the field every day. Batisa, she carried it. Batavoa Ir, she came to the city of Atera Hamos, and her mother-in-law saw Isra Liketa, everything she was holding. Batote, Batita in law, Isra Shosir Misava. She took out and gave her what she had left over as well. Not only that, she took her leftover food from that meal that she had earlier that day and gave it over to her mother-in-law. Mother-in-law probably was starving all day long. Maybe she had gotten a little bit of bread from her neighbors and stuff like that. But she made sure that, I'm sorry that I was gone all day. Here's the food that was going to have. Now, the amount of stuff that he had had is tremendous. 10 days worth. But her mother-in-law said to her, where'd you go today? Right? And where did you make all this stuff? Baruch, the person that recognized you should be blessed. So she told over to her mother-in-law everything that he had done with her, right, done with him, or what had happened with Boaz. I told her, Boaz, the man that I'd worked for today, the name was Boaz, right? Now, obviously, Naomi was a little bit afraid that she had started taking from random fields and from random things. Was this all Leket? That can't be. You must have stolen from somewhere. But she said, no. Honestly, this came from Boaz. Yeah.
Here's another thing. Naomi just asked, where were you?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the parak goes, Naomi knows this guy, his name is Boaz.
Yeah, 100%.
And the next part says,
how could it be?
I'm going to go glean somewhere.
But there's no way you could have gotten that amount of leket from one field. So you must have gone somewhere else, unless you stole. That's really what it's saying. Like, how did you get this stuff? It's sort of like you see your kid with all of a sudden like a bike that you've never seen before. And you're like, how do you get that bike? You don't know what to say. But Tomer Naomi lechalosa. Naomi then said to her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu LaHashem, he's blessed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Azav Chasto HaSachayim. That's amazing. He did not leave off his kindness for the live and the dead. But Tomer Naomi, Karov Lanoa Ishmigo Aleinuhu. That man is a relative of ours. He is one of our redeemers. And in fact, there is a possibility that he's going to get our field because he's one of the people that could inherit the field. If he inherits the field, that means it's also going to inherit you. Meaning, in theory, he could wed you, he could marry you, and that's that. This is Boaz, the greatest of the generation, right? And that's the idea where he just said, right, this is the possibility. He even said to me, stay close to the young men, until they have finished the harvest. In other words, I'm invited to be able to stay over there. I don't think you should worry about dishonorable intentions over here. I think the honest truth is, he's not trying to marry me. He said that I should stay with the young men, not with him. Right? I think it's just a tremendous generosity, a tremendous idea. He was a tzaddik and he wanted to help me and stuff like that. And that's what he said. I don't think that's a big deal. He also said, in order to take care of yichud issues, right? He had stayed away. But Tomer Naomi El Ros Kalasa to her daughter-in-law, Tov Biti, it's good, my daughter. He said to him, now, Rosa, you should go out with his young girls, Lo Yifgu Bach Basada Acher. Don't go out somewhere else. And then you don't have to worry about yichud. You don't have to worry about anything else. This is perfect. This is the best place to be able to go, right? And make sure that everybody would be able to stay out there and make sure that nobody's going to gossip about you. But Tidbak Ben Aros Boaz, she stuck to the Naros of Boaz, lock it out close, Ksir Chsa'irim, to collect until the end of the reaping of the barley. And then the wheat harvest, which is coming around Shavuos Tametashev as Chamosa. And she kept going back to her mother-in-law. Now that was a three-month season altogether where Rus was going back and forth and back and forth. She always went back. I would assume that she got friends at this time, but she didn't hang out with them. She went back to her mother-in-law every single time over here. Now, there is a three-month waiting period. I would assume that she converted as soon as she came in a kosher tikka manner, whether she converted before or not. Without a question, it was a Geirus L'Chumrah at this time. She for sure did this in order to make sure there's a three-month waiting period to be able to get married, and it makes sense. 3 months would be from Pesach all the way down to Shavuos. And around that time, that's when all of this would have happened, where Boaz said, all right, now it's time. And that brings us up to Paragimel. We'll stop with that for today.